with another Asterix Art podcast. Yes, we're still making them. My name is Ethan, and as always, with me is the little foot to my Terry the pterodactyl. It's Kuji.
Hey, that's very kind, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Littlefoot.
Yeah, everyone loves Littlefoot. He's the original good dinosaur.
He's a great dinosaur. All of them were.
That's true. He's a great dinosaur, but today we're talking about the good dinosaur.
Take it down.
Yeah, definitely a notch below Littlefoot and his friendos. But this movie came out in 2015, and we're going to break it down and give you all the deets we got here and a little bit of our special take, little notes we got as we watched the movie. I just finished it myself, so fresh as a daisy in my brain.
It's a little more rusty in my brain, but I still watched it recently.
In your good brain.
Yes, my good dinosaur brain.
So, let's start here. Dinosaurs. What are your thoughts? You like them?
I love dinosaurs. Who doesn't like dinosaurs? I wanted to be a paleontologist when I was a kid.
Really? Mm-hmm. See, now, I think that could be something that is a little bit common in our generation. Because I think we grew up in the heyday, the golden age of dinosaur in pop culture. Would you agree with me on that?
I think so, yeah. I mean, do you think it, like, they get bottomed out with, like, Jurassic Park 1? Do you think that was the critical dinosaur time?
Well, yeah, I mean, just, so Land Before Time, as you mentioned, 1988 film. So that's kind of like the kicking off. I think the 90s were big for that. We had Jurassic Park, like you said, the biggest dinosaur movie ever. We also had the introduction of the Toronto Raptors, which played off the Jurassic Park success.
Did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
I know they were associated.
Well, I think there's not a direct affiliation, but they were introduced in 1995. Which was
so like piggybacking a little bit.
Take what back a little bit?
So they're piggybacking a little bit.
Yeah. Jurassic Park, the movie, came out in 1990. I'm just getting my dates correct here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think...
There was that movie with Here's the Baby, or that, whatever that was.
Yes, Dinosaurs, the TV show. I forgot.
Yes.
The highest concept TV show. Sitcom about a family of dinosaurs who are just normal folk. It's just Roseanne as dinosaurs.
It really is, yeah.
Man, I wish I was in that pitch meeting. Because you guarantee that's what they said, right? Okay, so picture of Roseanne, but they're dinosaurs.
And then they're like, all right, let's just make it, whatever.
I mean, how do you pass that up? It's $1 million idea right there.
They really need to make a live action some other creature sitcom.
More creature sitcoms? Well, I mean, I think they try, but I don't know if they really have much success. When you get too high concept, dude.
There was that one sitcom that, like, it must have bombed, like, the first episode. It was, like, about, like, a cartoon character or, like, a He-Man character, but in real life. Whatever
yeah,
that was
recent. I'm sure that's already gone.
Yeah.
See, things like dinosaurs, I feel like that could really only exist in that time period. We're just too, everyone thinks they're just too, like, above stuff like that these days. In the era of peak television, you know.
Yeah. Everyone wants, like, a serious, like, gritty show. Everyone wants, like...
Yeah, everyone wants Batman to be an asshole, alcoholic, or whatever. It's like, let's just go back to the... I don't know why I'm talking about Batman, but... Right.
Yeah, don't blaspheme Batman.
It's Chris Nolan's fault. Everything's gritty because of him.
It was him, and then same... And, like, the Bourne Identity, too. It's like, everybody has to be the super secret agent, serious guy.
Yeah, let's go back to the days... We just have a stupid ass show about dinosaur Roseanne, and everyone's happy.
Even like, James Bond wasn't serious in the past. He was just like a goofy spy guy who like sometimes had cool gadgets. But now he's like super emotional and like goes back to his childhood home and finds out
yeah,
his dad is Christoph Waltz or whatever.
I don't think that's the movie, but I'm with you though. That we're in the age of hyper-realism, and it's not always producing the best product in terms of funness. But in terms of hyper-realism, this movie graphically nails that for the landscape.
Yeah.
Would you not agree? I think probably the best part of this movie is the insane realistic landscape.
I was going to say that water, man. That blew me away.
Yeah, pretty sure that was one of my first notes. Just, holy shit, this water looks amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, it's like, it's beyond Uncanny Valley. It looked 100% real. And like I said, this is 2015. It's only getting better from here. But it's going to have real dinosaurs running around. Can't even tell the difference.
Well, VR. You know what? That actually might happen soon. We're going to somehow implode and kill ourselves with dinosaurs.
Yeah, we're going to bring back a woolly mammoths first.
I actually was just reading something about that, about how they want to bring woolly mammoths back to, like, I don't know, whatever their role was in the ecosystem was, like, super important, and they want them to come back to keep contributing.
No, there's no real scientific reason. It's just these nerds are like, we could bring back a woolly mammoth. Let's do it.
That's not what it is. There's a reason. There's definitely a reason.
Hey, no, I don't blame them. I would definitely, if I had the opportunity to bring back a woolly mammoth, put my name in the history books, I would do it.
That's true. Yeah, you'd be famous forever.
Yeah. Instead, the way we thought we'd get famous was with this podcast. So let's get on with it.
I guess so, yeah.
So yeah, we could talk more about the movie. Let's knock out a few of the details here. We got a debut of director Peter Son, who you may remember as the voice of Squishy in Monsters University.
I do.
You do? Okay, good.
And also the voice of the Styracosaurus in this movie.
Nice, good pronunciation. I'm glad you looked that up as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does some voice work. Some of the other voice work we get here, the main guy, Arlo, is Raymond Ochoa, just some young kid who does a lot of voice work. But he's also in a band called the Ochoa Boys. I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't. That's
have to check them out.
Great.
I mean, to be fair, the voice cast doesn't really blow me away. And not necessarily because of the names of the actors, but, like, I don't know. The voices themselves didn't really, like, pop the way they Pixar usually has their, you know, voice actors. They usually get a lot bigger names.
Yeah, I agree.
So to round out the cast, we have Jeffrey Wright as the father, Papa Henry, Frances McDormand, Mama Ida, his mother. Jack Bright is the human cave boy. And then later down the road, we get probably the best voice of any voices ever in the history of voices, Sam Elliott.
Yes.
And Anna Paquin is his daughter, too. I don't know if you recognize that.
No, I didn't.
I mean,
I looked it up, but I didn't recognize it from the performance, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't always recognize the voices from the Pixar movies, except for, like, I mean, obviously the big ones, like in Toy Story, the Tom Hanks of our days. But this one, just, I don't know, all the voices, they kind of, you know, kind of not like goofy enough voices. But
Sam Elliott has that nice, like, gravelly southern, I don't know, beautiful voice.
Yeah, he brings a lot of gravitas. Now, I think part of the reason maybe the voice cast wasn't as stellar, there were a lot of production issues with this movie, which may have also played into why I don't think it really made much of a splash. Because whenever I talk to, well, my wife, I guess, saw me watching the movie, and she's like, this is a Pixar movie? I never even knew this was coming out. We're like, exactly.
Until we started this podcast, I did not know this movie existed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how good they did on ads, I guess.
It's like the most forgotten Pixar movie, I think. Like I said, production issues, but also I think a big part of it, it was released the November after Inside Out came out that previous June. So it's the first time they've ever released two movies in the same year, kind of cannibalizing their own audience there.
Yeah, that's, well, they probably learned a valuable lesson.
Yeah, I don't think they'll ever do that again.
Yeah.
The original cast, the movie was, you know, supposed to be released in 2014, actually. Original cast, John Lithgow, Judy Greer, Bill Hader, and Neil Patrick Harris. Now that's a much better lineup there.
That's an all-star cast, yeah.
Yeah, and with voices that, you know, lend themselves to cartoon dinosaurs a lot more. I love Jeffrey Wright, but, like, I don't know. He doesn't really play as a Apatosaurus pops.
He's the guy who plays Felix Leiter in the James Bond movies.
Yes, right? To bring it back to James Bond.
Yeah.
And he's also in Westworld. I don't know if you watched that.
I don't. I should, probably.
Probably should. But
there's only, like, 6 hours in a day. You know, it's only so much time I can watch things.
Yeah, typical person's only awake for about 6 hours a day. That's right.
I mean, yeah, I guess get my alarm fixed. Anyway.
Anywho, yeah, so all that production issues, recasting, being released the same year as one of their best movies, maybe, of the past decade, Inside Out. It didn't really do that great at box office. Made a $330 million. Budget was about $200 million. So,
I mean, it was a success.
Typically, yeah, the rule of thumb is you should, like, double your budget. So, I guess, what are you going
to
do?
Yeah, broke even.
Yeah, probably broke even. I mean, they did a lot of rewrites and they, like, tried to rework it, and I think they'll even themselves admit that it didn't really, wasn't the best effort. It was like good, not great, which I think was kind of the reception.
I mean, I guess to start into it, the first scene of the movie makes you, like, accept a huge plot point, which is that, so there's an asteroid that's heading to Earth, and as we all know, if you're not, like, fucking stupid, that the Earth is 4 billion years old and there's dinosaurs on it, and it's, you know, there was dinosaurs and then there was, like, an asteroid and it, like, hit the Earth and it, like, killed everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bummer. But in this movie, JK, that doesn't happen. They just look at it and then it doesn't hit them.
Mm-hmm.
So then the natural progression of that would be then dinosaurs become agrarian and settle down.
Yeah, we're introduced to the family of Apatosauri, Apatosauruses, as you mentioned. And yeah, they're farmers. So I don't know. It's big fuck you to evolution, I guess. they continue to be the same in terms of their body construction, but they're just farmers now.
To be real with you,
be real.
I didn't realize that's what that symbolized. That it symbolized the dinosaurs not dying. I just thought they're making, like, a joke about, like, remember when dinosaurs killed asteroids? And then they were like, oh, that wasn't the asteroid that killed everybody. Because, like, I just thought maybe it was coming later, which got me excited because then, you know, you can see that. But then when they show a little bit later on that there's humans in this time, and I was like, fuck you. Because there's people who think that's real. There's people who think that actually happened. And so, like, it's, I don't know, it's a weird message to send out that, and not explicitly say this isn't real, or, like, in another timeline, or, like, some other disclaimer that says that that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's true. You needed a big text at the bottom. This is not real. Jesus horses were not like a real thing. Yes. No, but you're right.
We'll ignore that for now, I guess. Forever.
Yeah, it's an alternate reality. Dinosaurs never get extinct, at least not to this point. And they'll become kind of Western farmers, which I don't know, the scenes of them farming, and it was for some reason it just made me uncomfortable. I don't know why. The fact that there's still dinosaurs in every way, but that then they talk to each other and like farm, but only use their bodies to farm. Like they haven't, like they've developed structures, like the ability to create structures, but not a farming hoe. I don't know, Kyuji, this movie.
It's hard, I guess, without a thumb, I guess.
That's true. That. Well, that's why you evolve, you stupid dinosaurs.
Yeah. That's why we killed you with that asteroid.
And when we were first talking about the movie after you watched it, it said it upset you. Is this why it upset you? Because it...
That's why it upset me, yes. Okay. Because, like, they probably show this at, like, the Holy Land Experience in Orlando, like, every weekend. Like, see?
See, even Hollywood, those liberal assholes. They agree. Speaking of assholes, movie starts off and get introduced to the main character, Arlo, who is undoubtedly an asshole.
Yeah. No, he's a little biggity bitch.
He's a biggity bitch, but no, as we'll... I think he's also an asshole. We'll get to that.
He probably is an asshole, yeah.
His brother...
Actually...
Yeah.
No, yes, he is. I'm thinking about what happens after that. He definitely is an asshole.
Yeah. He does a few things that make you question. Well, I mean, that's just Pixar's thing, I guess. They like making shitty protagonists who...
They're right.
Redeem at the end. I mean, I guess that's how you write any movie. There has to be flaws, but they're always like... Very selfish. That's their flaw. Every Pixar movie.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we got Arlo. He's in this family of Apatosauri corn farmers. I guess they just eat corn. With his sister, Butch. His sister. I don't know his sister's name, but he has a sister. And he has a brother, Butch, who's also an asshole.
And Butch is a jerk.
Yeah, he's the one that kind of beats up on him. Arlo's the little one. And they all have jobs around the farm, and Arlo definitely sucks at his job because he's scared of chickens. His job, I guess, is to feed the chickens.
Which is, like, the easiest shit ever.
Yeah. I mean, he goes into the little cage, which, again, okay, we're not starting on a good pace here, but this movie also has a lot of weird things going on with the idea of what animals are, like, intelligent to the level of, I guess, beyond prehistoric humans. And then, I guess, other animals who are subservient to them. So these farmers have chickens that they keep in a coop who don't speak English or seem very intelligent. Later on, we see cows and birds and such. So another reason this movie failed.
Like any modern non-dinosaur animal is like stupid and subservient, and then, well, let's just get into it, I guess. The dad is trying to, like, he has a silo made of rocks that he's trying to save his corn crop in so they can have food for the winter. Mm-hmm. And they keep having a pest problem, which is a human. Which I don't know how he keeps on getting in the rock thing.
He's secretly much smarter because he's got that human brain.
But Arlo has to prove he's a man and murder the child.
That's the only way to prove you're a man.
Yeah, it's murder.
Maybe that's why you underlined murder on your notes there.
Yeah, that is what it is. Now I know. I also wrote under murder, people didn't exist, which is true. But he is too much of a like a puss to kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just his morals, I don't know. So they like chase him, I guess, with the dad and Arlo go and chase him because he's trying to like prove himself to get his, because everyone who does a good job, which is just like doing chores, gets their footprint on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other kids, their jobs are just like the sister digs good holes and the other kid like chops down trees, but then Arlo has to commit cold-blooded murder.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this mark system is here, Pops, but I don't know if it's weighted evenly.
Yeah, it's... but then yeah. Arlo is super shitty at killing.
He's the worst. And he captures the human. Well, I guess, real quick, did you like that concept of the human as the animal here? He doesn't speak English. He's basically a dog.
That's what bummed me about it, is like, just because like it's a like a proto-human doesn't mean it acted like a, like it literally acts like a dog. Like it does like the leg thing,
mm-hmm.
and like barks. Scratches his head with its leg. Yeah, and that's, humans were like, came, well, had common ancestors with monkeys, so why don't you just make it monkey like? I don't understand. Like, it's easy, we have references for it. It's so easy to act like a monkey. People will recognize it. Like, little kids love little like monkey things, like arm over your head, like whoo-hoo. Like, I don't know, like it'd be so easy. So easy. But he's a dog instead.
Yeah, I guess I don't mind it, just because it kind of turns that narrative around where it's like we have, the story is basically a boy and his dog going on an adventure, but it's reversed, so it's kind of the boy is the animal, as the dog instead of the human. So I don't know, I didn't mind it, but I could see it's also weird for sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, this weird human, yeah, the Arlo catches him, but then lets him go because he feels bad. And his dad sees him do this and is like, fuck that, we're going to go kill this thing once and for all because he's eating all our corn. And they chase him into the forest. And despite the fact that there's a huge storm raging, this dad's got a he's got a major kill boner. And they chase him down all the way through the canyon there.
It's like a little bit the dad's fault. Because like, it's like it's like Superstorm Sandy coming through like the alley at you, and he's just like,
Yeah, that's definitely an asshole. I guess that's where Arlo gets it from.
Yeah,
because he puts not only himself but his child at risk just to kill what is essentially a raccoon in his yard.
Yeah,
it's like, just go back and wait the next time, kill him when there's not. Yeah, Superstorm Sandy, which I guess is maybe every other day in this stupid place. So maybe that was as good a time like. As any.
Also, I wrote down, do tall dinosaurs get hit with lightning easier because they're tall?
That's a great question.
There's like lightning like crazy, and they're like dodging it and stuff. They're like never getting hit, but I feel like if you're super tall, you're just like waiting to get hit.
I mean, that's basic physics, man. Okay. I don't know. That's another reason why they didn't survive. But here we get, I guess, kind of very much a Lion King moment, would you say? Where basically because of the son, the father is killed by nature. But I guess in this time, the dad's definitely also at fault.
He led the charge,
Yeah, unlike Mufasa, who was definitely the top boss.
R.I.P. Mufasa.
And, here, what's his name? What's the pop's name? Papa Henry or something. He gets washed away in the flood. He's able to save Arlo, gets him out of the way of the flood, but he himself is murdered by water.
And that's another thing that... That's the same thing that bugged me about Lion King when I was a kid. That, like, I don't know, Mufasa could have survived that shit. And the dad definitely could survive just getting, like, you know, like some water. He's an enormous dinosaur with a super long neck. He could have figured it out.
Yeah, well, at least in Mufasa's case, like, yeah, he gets trampled. That's pretty severe. But in this case, yeah, the dad gets washed away in a flood. Later throughout the movie, Arlo, a much tinier dinosaur, gets washed away several times. And he always survives with just a couple of bruises. So maybe the dad did survive. He just kind of got washed down the river and just didn't want to come back to his stupid asshole family.
Yeah, maybe he's like, all right, fuck these people. We're going to have new kids.
Found some new kids. Got my own cave boy. So, yeah, after he gets washed away, Arlo, I don't know if they really show it, but he somehow gets back to the farm. Whatever. He realizes he's got a man up now that the dad's dead, mostly because of him. Tries to be a man on the farm, but he fucking sucks at it, as usual. And finds the human again eating his corn. Little pesky
human. And now he's got to make an example of this kid right now.
Yeah. He's got to fucking murder him. He gets his own kill boner that distracts him, and he stupidly just falls into a river. It's like, once they want to kill, they just kind of forget. They're very stupid.
Like, they demonstrate multiple times how dangerous that river is, but they didn't think to, like, put up a fence or something.
It's true. They have another fence.
Yeah, they know fences.
That's a good point. They build a fence, I guess, to keep the animal or the human out, but that doesn't even work.
No. Also, I want to make a point that, you know, like, all Pixar movies are, like, take place in California because they're all beating themselves off about how great California is when they make these movies. I'm pretty sure this takes place in prehistoric California.
Yeah.
I'm, like, almost certain.
Well, yeah, it's very Western, the landscape. So that would make sense.
Yes, there's a state that's the most Western, you would say.
Some people would. Very mountainous, too. It kind of fits the bill. So I didn't think about that. I looked up a lot of trivia. It's not confirmed, but we're going to confirm it here, folks.
Yep.
Pixar can't get over living in California. Yeah, so we got Arlo swept away in another river. It's a common theme throughout the movie. He gets washed away, gets knocked out, doesn't know where he is, and now he's way down the river, away from his family. The human also got washed with him, and Arlo's like, okay, it's time to go back and let's get our, you know, find our way back. Immediately gets himself trapped by a boulder, and even though it looks like that boulder could probably easily be pushed off his leg, he kind of just sits there and accepts death because he doesn't deserve to live. This is Darwin's trying to pick this one off, but the human comes back and saves him because he's a sweet boy.
And I did also note that this movie should be called Survival of the Weakest because that's what it is.
Yeah, throughout the movie, Arlo definitely does not deserve to live.
No.
Especially if, yeah, his big beefy dad got killed so easily. But he's got the human on his side because he showed him some mercy earlier. So the human comes back, digs his leg out, and gets him to some berries, feeds him some berries, and fights off a dope snake with arms. That was probably my favorite character looking there. I realized it was basically just a tiny Trogdor, the Burninator.
Man, I miss I gotta watch that video again. Trogdor is the best, man. I used to have a Strong Bad backpack.
Really? How do you know they made merch?
They did, like, in their heyday. They were very merchy. Yeah. I had a lot of their stuff because, like, everyone in my family really liked Homestar Runner, so.
You have a good family.
Yeah, pretty powerful.
You have a powerful family, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you better watch yourself.
Yeah, I wonder if those videos will hold up. I think they made another like Halloween one a couple years ago, so they're still around.
Making note for later. Okay.
Noted.
Then is this where they have the? Well, okay. Another thing that made me upset was that
hit me.
He kept being like, "I'm hungry. I need food." And it's like, you're a fucking apatosaurus. You eat leaves, dude. You just eat leaves. They're everywhere. Like, I don't understand what that was about.
Yeah, and that's what kind of, it's a pretty critical moment, because at this point, even though the human got his leg unstuck, Arlo still hates him and wants to kill him because he blames him for killing his father, yeah. Even though it's definitely Arlo's fault that his father died.
100%.
Yeah. So yeah, like, you don't blame the raccoon for running away and you chased after it and fell in the river. It's not his fault. Anyway.
It's like if your dad tried to like shoo away a raccoon from a trash can and then he fell in a lake or something.
Yeah, I'd be like, wow, he was a real jackass.
Yeah, like
that raccoon, he's just
that doing raccoon was thing. A mile away from your house. You don't need to chase him. Actually, last night, this is random. Mm-hmm. I was on campus. I was just taking a walk, and I saw a raccoon and a possum, and they were like, "We're working together." Oh, and no. They realized that happened in nature. I felt like I should have called some like authority, like, "Hey, we need to take care of this because they're in cahoots now."
Yeah, call the police.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's not good.
No.
Raccoons are smart, right? They're gonna get us. That's fine. We've had our time in the sun since yeah, I accept the raccoon era to start.
Is like. Is this the part where they eat the acid berries?
No, not quite yet. But interestingly, there's like a weird, I don't know, there's some strange undertone to this movie that I think is like anti-hippie, anti-like faith. I don't know. But this is the moment where they meet the Styracosaurus, which is basically a big fancy Triceratops. And he's very, I don't know, he's very like drugged out all the time and
yeah,
seems kind of stupid, but he's got like this horde of animals that he keeps with him on his horns, and he's trying to adopt the human, I guess, into his little brood. But weirdly, I didn't like the scene, even though I kind of like the Styracosaurus, but he says that if you name the animal, then it's yours. So him and Arlo go through like a contest of like naming the human to get him to respond, and then he only responds when Arlo calls him Spot. So
which is a dog name.
Yeah, again,
a very famous dog name.
Yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, kind of an uncreative name. I didn't really get the point of that scene either, because I mean, I get it that you're, I guess, A, needing to name this human, and B, wanted to, like, you know, get the bond of Arlo and the human a little bit stronger here. But I think they already accomplished that with the human saving Arlo's life multiple times.
Oh, yeah, and then
feeding him berries.
They like, talked by drawing circles in the sand that represents family, and somehow he knew, like, somehow it was, like, this international language that all animals know.
Yeah, that was another weird scene, because yeah, right after that, after the Styracosaurus, he kind of chases him, but then I don't know, he's just gone forever. Then they do, yeah, they bond a little bit more. They play in the water, and that's when they eat the acid berries.
Which
again, another weird, I don't know, very weird scene.
It's a weird thing for a kids' movie, and also eating rotten food doesn't make you trip; it just makes you sick. Like.
Yeah, I didn't know where they were going with that, because, like, they eat the stuff off the ground. And, again, this Arlo's a patasaurus with a long neck. He could easily eat the fresh fruit off the tree that's right next to him.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of what they were going for. Like, the kid was going to be like, hey, look at that. Eat those up there. Don't be a jackass. And then kind of teach him how to fend for himself. But no, they get high off the food.
Yeah. I don't know. That was weird.
Yeah, and then right after that's when they bond over their dead families. Maybe they were still high.
They do another thing with fireflies where they're like, if you blow on them, they light up. That's not how fireflies work.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Or lightning bugs, as my family would call them.
Yeah, we talked about lightning bugs on another pod, didn't we?
Probably.
I think so.
Is there another lightning bug in a Pixar movie?
Oh, man. I wish I could remember. But, yeah, I call them fireflies. You call them lightning bugs. That was the end of that story, I think.
But also, like, just touching them doesn't make them light up. Like, that's just... I don't know. I guess that's nitpicky, but...
That's what we do, man. We're nitpicking the hell out of this movie.
Also, I wrote this note, which I agree with still, that they missed out on opportunity because he swims a lot, on him being mistaken for a Loch Ness monster. I feel like I should have made a Loch Ness monster joke at some point.
Yeah, that could have been funny.
Or whatever the dinosaur from Mario 64 is. Whatever that was.
It was a Loch Ness. I think it was Nessie. I don't know what his name was.
I think it might have been Nessie. It's in Mario Odyssey, too.
Sure is. Great movie, or great game. You should buy it. Everyone should buy it.
Great movie, Mario Odyssey.
Better movie than this movie.
Yeah, it is. It's movie quality, for sure.
This is where another interesting thing happened. It was a strange collection of scenes right here, altogether. Talk about the dead families. Do the fireflies, which I guess connects him back to his dad, because his dad showed him that if you bother the fireflies, they make light, whatever. So they fall asleep, they're cuddling, it's all cute. The bond is established. And then a little human Spot wakes up, and then we see him go pee behind a tree. And I wondered, is this the first time Pixar's ever showed anyone evacuating their bowels on screen?
It probably is.
I think it might be.
So. Isn't he like self-conscious that he's watching?
Yeah, because Arlo looks at him, and then he looks back, sees him, and then Arlo looks away, and then when he looks back again, he's much farther away.
Which is still kind of weird.
It kind of plays into the dog thing, too. I don't know if you ever watch your dog pee or poop. They always look really self-conscious.
I try not to. I try to give them privacy.
Next time, just watch them. They look really weird.
Are we at the what are they called? The flying dudes.
Pterosaurs.
Yeah.
Or Nyctosaurus.
Or
T-Rexosaurus. That's incorrect. yeah, so right after this, another storm happens because there's a storm every friggin' day in this stupid area.
It's a fucking mess over there.
And Arlo has some PTSD, runs away from the storm, and loses track of the river, which is crucial because he's just following the river because it leads back to his farm. And then, this is where the pterodactyls come by. They're flying by, and Arlo's like, hey, can you help us out? And they come to help him out. But then, again, these pterodactyls kind of turn out to be weird, like religious zealots who almost worship the storm in a way.
Yeah. Oh, God. I forgot that whole subplot. Yeah. They're like storm chasers, but oh, God. They like praise the storm. Then they also want to eat the kid.
Yeah. Like they start off.
Baby.
Yeah, they start off and they think that they're just almost like, what do you call it, first responders who are flying around and they're like, oh, we got to help people. And then a quick little turnaround here, they actually just want to eat stuff that's I guess been captured by the storm in various ways. So
yeah,
Arla helps them out, gets a cute little creature out, and they friggin' eat it right there. Which is why this movie was PG. One of the few Pixar movies to be PG instead of G.
Because it shows graphic eating scenes.
Yeah, that must be it. Those guys are pretty scary if you were a kid. He's got crazy eyes, too. But let's nitpick a little bit more here. Because we've now been introduced to a few different dinosaurs here. Apatosaurus is the main guy. Styracosaurus was the hippie dude. And these guys, pterosaurs or Nyctosaurus. And doing my little research here, they don't quite seem to fall into the same range. Now, I don't know if that had any effect with the mass extinction, but Apatosaurus were about 152, 151 million years ago. Styracosaurus were about 75 million years ago. And the Great Extinction was about 65 million years ago. So, Pixar, you thought you'd do your research.
Yeah, you gotta learn out what era you're going for.
Nyctosaurus were about 85 million years ago. And then, well, what's weird too is like all the other things that we get introduced to, Tyrannosaurus later on, raptors, two velociraptors, all those guys are kind of within the same range here. But then the Apatosaurus is like way earlier. So maybe there were no big long neck animals around that time, but it would seem weird that they would have the main character be one that's like so out of range. I don't know. This is a real nerdy moment here, but
hey, you know what? I'm glad you took the time. Like I didn't even think about looking up the era of each dinosaur, but yeah, I mean, well, I guess if one survives, they all survive.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. Maybe they resurrected some from the dead. Like maybe, like how we want to resurrect like mammoths. Maybe they just like brought some back.
Yeah, they haven't developed any farming tools, but they developed the ability to resurrect themselves.
Maybe it was some weird cult thing. I don't know.
Yeah, as we find out, this movie is very anti-cult or faith of any kind. And, I mean, really, I guess it's like kind of like anti-naturalist, because nature itself is the main antagonist here. It's the one that keeps killing everybody. But, irregardless, as we're talking about these pterosaur zealots, they want to eat the little boy, but they're able to escape and run away and find our Tyrannosaurus Rex buddies. And we finally get introduced to Sam Elliott almost an hour into this damn movie.
Which is what I was waiting for the whole time.
Yeah, once you told me he was in it, I was like, ooh, can't wait for plenty of Sam Elliott voice.
Not enough. But then they're like weird T-Rexes that don't want to hurt other people. Like they don't.
Yeah.
They're not like hungry for delicious Arlo.
Yeah, this was also weird because the T-Rexes help Arlo and Spot fend off the pterosaurs. And then I'm thinking, okay, now this is going to be a bigger, badder enemy that they have to get away from. But instead, no, they're just cool. They're just cowboys, basically.
Yeah.
So I guess without the mass extinction, T-Rexes just became ranchers. And Apatosaurus, which what you'd think would be something they would eat, also became farmers. So they're kind of simpatico, I guess.
Yeah, I guess maybe they are.
In a cowboy way.
They kind of dealt with their issues and they're cool now.
Yeah, in all those millions of years, they must have hashed it all out as they developed English. But anyway, we get introduced to these T-Rexes who, like I said, they're ranchers of longhorns, which again are like not sentient beings here. Again, why aren't the T-Rexes just eating the longhorns? I don't know what they're eating. it doesn't really explain what they're doing with the Longhorns.
They lost them or something, but then they're moving them. I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, they lost the herd, and Arlo helps them with the use of Spot, who's a tracker, because he's basically a dog, find them.
Yeah, another dog thing.
Yeah. They find them, and it turns out that they lost them because they were hustled by velociraptors. Not really sure how that works. Not really sure how you lose like a giant herd of Longhorns. I don't know if there was a line there. Again, it doesn't matter because this is a kids' movie, and kids' movies, kids aren't nitpicky like us assholes. But they could have easily just said, "Hey, there was a giant storm about 2 seconds ago. We lost them in the storm. Bingo, bango." Maybe they said that, and I missed it, but I don't know. But we do get the Sam Elliott, and then his kid is Anna Paquin is his daughter, and I don't know what the other dude's name is. But I don't know if he caught this. It was weird. They fight off the pterodactyls, and then the Anna Paquin and the other T-Rex kind of start wrestling, and Sam Elliott runs up, and I could have sworn he says, "Get out of your sister's butthole."
I'm pretty sure he didn't say that, but yeah, he could have, I guess.
Go back and listen to it.
I'm gonna go back and listen to it.
I think what he really said was something about bubbles. They had some weird thing there talking about like personal space, but it sounds distinctly like "get out of your sister's butthole."
Hey, get out of your sister's butthole.
The banquet beer. I can't do a good Sam Elliott. I wish I could.
Yeah, I know. I wish I could just be his voice.
That'd be a great one just to pull out.
Yeah.
Talking about the dude.
So then they, I don't know, they talk and they bond about how like cool their scars are or whatever. And then
well, before that, how could you forget? They fight off the velociraptors.
I didn't realize it was after. I thought it was before. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, you watched it too long ago. I just watched it. I told you it's fresh. They find the herd, and Arlo helps them fight off the velociraptors. One of which, voiced by John Ratzenberger.
John Ratzenberger. But all he says is like, "Bah!" or something. He doesn't like...
It's credited as one of the shortest Ratzenberger cameos. He's got one line, I think. He says, "Kill him."
Which makes me really fucking angry.
It's just, they're teasing us now.
Yeah.
He says, "We kill him." That's all he says.
They must have time traveled, heard this, and went to the past and took away his lines.
I mean, it's our fault for not starting the Ratzenberger report earlier, but this is all we get these days. We'll make do.
I am glad that they gave the raptors like feathers, which is more accurate to, you know, real life.
There we go.
But they made them seem like the stupidest things. Like they were like goofy and like, I don't know, they're very like,
they're like rednecks. They kind of look the design. They kind of look like hicks, like slack jawed like yokels, really
defamed velociraptors.
Yeah, and a kind of a callback maybe to Jurassic Park. They have the T Rexes facing off against the velociraptors. It seems like a common enemy. They keeps coming up in dinosaur movies here.
But these velociraptors weren't smart and didn't have like that one toe that they kept, like, giving themselves Morse code with it.
Yeah, the way too smart dinosaurs from Jurassic Park. Another weird thing I noticed, this is very off topic and derailing, but I noticed a lot of the pterodactyls, the T-Rexes, the velociraptors, they're always introduced in sets of three. And I wondered if that's just something that's like a trick for character introductions, because it's like enough people to bounce off of. I don't know. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
Probably isn't, though. but
it might be, yeah. Three is just a good number, you know.
I mean, there's the comedic rule of three, where like if you're listing something, you know, you got to have like three. That's like the perfect amount for the humor.
Maybe they're trying to make this really funny, but it didn't work.
Yeah, this is a comedy. This is a highbrow comedy. And the joke is...
the highest brow.
Yeah, the joke is, this movie sucks.
Yeah.
So, we're at the final stretch here, though. Because once they save these Longhorns, they have that scene you mentioned. They kind of are comparing scars, a la Jaws, which the director... mm-hmm. I think says it's his favorite movie, so that's definitely intentional. And Sam Elliott kind of gives Arlo the talk, like, oh, courage. Because Arlo's like, oh, weren't you scared when you fought off crocodiles or something? Or whatever. And he's like, no, of course, I was scared. I don't know, everyone's scared.
Oh, yeah, the classic, yeah.
Yeah, the classic, like, you don't have to not be scared to be courageous speech.
He gave him the talk, like, when a man loves a woman a whole bunch.
The birds and the bees and the pterodactyls and the styracosauruses.
Yeah. I also thought that the like scene where you look over the gorge with all like the longhorns,
mm-hmm.
it reminded me a lot of No Country for Old Men, and I was really hoping that there was like an Anton Seguir dinosaur that was going to come out or something. I thought that would be really cool, but... no such luck.
No Javier Bardem's.
I love him.
Not to go further off track, though, but the whole scenery, I'm right now playing the Zelda game on Switch. It's very reminiscent.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me like... I mean, the scenery is, like we said, definitely the best part. Very rich landscapes, very Western, too. And I didn't realize until... sorry, but I didn't realize until the T-Rexes show up that maybe the movie's trying to be like a Western, because they're farmers, talking about kind of like courage and masculinity of a boy growing up to be a man. So I guess it's maybe kind of Pixar's take on a Western. I don't know if, did you pick that up at all? Am I talking out my butt?
I didn't. Like you mentioned, I kind of get it, but then the moral of the story would be, if you want to be a man, you have to kill a human. So
yeah,
I mean, that's kind of a Western thing to think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you get your first kill.
Yeah,
because yeah, all the T-Rexes are swapping stories about kills and fights and stuff.
What was? I wrote down that the Sam Elliott story is dark, but I don't remember what. He did.
He fought off some crocodiles, he says. He was like, it was a hot day, I think he said, and he was going to get a drink of water, and like three of them jumped out on him. And he's got like a big scar on his face, and then he's got one of their teeth lodged into his mouth.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Which is, it was pretty badass. I'm not gonna lie.
But he killed them. Didn't he say he killed them, like they're dead?
Oh, yeah, he, another reason why it's PG. He says for one of them, he drowns them in his own blood.
That's what it was. That's why it was so dark. That's so fucking dark, man.
Yeah, that's pretty fucked up.
It's like damaging to a child to hear that.
Yeah, that is... I kind of glossed over that, but yeah, that's intense.
That might be a story that Sam Elliott like actually happened to him, and he just told it like through the character.
Yeah, I did write a note for that scene that every movie needs, like, a Sam Elliott monologue. Like, a campfire monologue. There's also another weird thing in that scene. Okay, we gotta hurry up, but there's another weird thing in that scene. One of the dinosaurs is trying to, like, trade for the human. Which is, again, just, I don't know, very strange to just continually try to dehumanize this cave boy.
A human. Yeah.
He offers his harmonica bug, but then he eats it.
That's right, yeah.
That was then odd.
Well, speaking of dehumanizing, so Arlo and Spot have like this weird howling thing they do to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then they hear a separate third party howl, which is like an Inuit guy, I guess. And it's clearly another human, but Arlo is selfish and an asshole.
Yeah, this is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
He doesn't let him go.
Keeps him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For no reason, really. Like, they don't even really... I mean, I guess they have the moment where Spot tells him he doesn't have his family, but, like, I guess they don't... Before that, they don't really establish that Arlo is, like, trying to own this human.
Yeah.
But, yeah, really driving that point home.
And also another thing, the howling thing, so the people are just dogs.
Yeah, they're just dogs.
They howl, they walk on all fours.
Mm-hmm.
But then finally, he gets integrated into a different family. Well, it's the same family from before, but I guess they've been following him.
Yeah, they track him down, even though they, again, cover a lot of ground here, because the pterodactyls show back up right after this scene, which I guess is kind of a karma. Well, again, it's like it's karma against Arlo a little bit, because he's like on the way home. Spot the humans, and he's like, "Nah, I'm gonna keep you, human. You can't go live a good life with the others." Then, like immediately after, another storm hits, of course, and the pterodactyls show back up. The scene that they are flying through the clouds, though, and they're like little horns or like shark fins, but inverted. That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, it was okay.
It didn't do it for you.
I thought it was interesting, but...
But, as I was saying, so there's, like, karma here, but, again, Arlo, everyone he loves gets killed or almost killed. Because the pterodactyls don't really do anything to him. They take Spot, and they're going to try and eat him. And then Arlo just kind of gets knocked off a cliff and falls very safely into a bunch of vines.
Yeah. And then, oh yeah, and then he sees Ghost Dad.
Yeah, he's got a Ghost Dad. Another, you know, Lion King moment there. He's got a vision of his dad back from the dead. And it was weird, like, his dad's, like, bringing him back home. But then Arlo's like, no, I gotta go save Spot, the human. And that's when his vision is proud of him. And like, okay, you did it.
Which doesn't track with earlier, because earlier he would have been like, yeah, let that kid die.
Yeah, for sure. But
that's literally why I died.
Yeah, that's true. That's not really honoring his father's death. You gotta get satisfaction and revenge.
Yeah,
like Inigo Montoya. But instead, yeah, the vision's proud of him, and Arlo goes back and fights off the pterodactyls, and again, they're washed away in a flood and survive, even though they fall off like a 200-foot waterfall.
Yeah, which,
But thankfully, they get washed back up, and they're like right by their I almost said by their apartment.
Yeah, pretty much an apartment.
Right by their home. Yeah, the little home of their hut. And that's when the humans show back up, and finally Arlo's like, okay, you can go. You can go hang out with them. Only because he finally got... it was probably because he was like, okay, I need this kid to get home. Clearly. And then finally
he was like, home. Well, I got what I wanted. Yeah. So I guess you can go home.
Yeah. He's such a selfish prick.
Yeah.
And then he gets to go home, and he gets to make his dumb mark on his silo there. But here's another nerdy actually moment. I wanted to look up, like, what do their Apatosaurus feet look like? And they only have a single, toe or claw on their front paw, or limbs, whatever you call it. But instead, here they have, like, the three, you know, the standard.
Yeah.
Rule of three, as we've established.
I guess they gotta get a pass for that one. It's a rule of three fingers, you know, that's cool.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? But he makes his mark. Everyone's happy. What did we learn, Kuji?
I mean, by his own, like, they said if they didn't get all the corn into the silo by the first snow, then they'd be screwed for winter, which the first snow happens.
Oh, yeah.
And then it takes a while for him to get back. So I'm pretty sure they're all going to die anyway. So.
Yeah, the mom looked pretty, like, malnourished by the time he got back.
Yeah. She's been working, like, three times as hard as she should have been.
Now, my real question was, did he really even earn that mark?
Yeah, because all he did was his own dumbass fell into the river.
Yeah, everyone else, their marks are kind of for things they do for the betterment of the family and for the support of the farm. But he himself gets his father killed and then almost kills himself and then almost kills this poor human who wasn't really doing anything. And then he still gets a stupid mark.
I don't know. Sometimes there's just no justice.
No justice in this prehistoric land here. So overall, what would you think? What would you grade this movie, or how would you recommend someone watch it? Because I'm sure no one friggin' even heard of this movie.
If you're really bored, I guess.
A ringing endorsement.
Just watch the Sam Elliott parts, and then that's pretty much all you need to see.
Yeah. Watch Sam Elliott parts. Even if you could just somehow like find a supercut of just the landscape shots, but I don't know if it would be as impressive out of context because it is still impressive, but it would just look like a real landscape. You kind of
look at the water.
Yeah,
you gotta look at the water too. Yeah,
it kind of helps to have the goofy looking dinosaurs though, because it's like, okay, yeah, this is definitely animated.
They also didn't have a lot of just random extra dinosaurs, which I kind of was looking forward to. Like they made it seem like back in dinosaur times, there was like eight dinosaurs on the planet.
Yeah, that's true. Cause they're in other dinosaur movies. It shows a lot of these same dinosaur types roaming in large herds, you know?
Yeah.
The only herd we get is those longhorns. But again, this is an alternate reality, so who knows?
That's true, yeah. It's the ones it's like the duck-billed ones with like the really long skull thing.
Oh yeah, those are dope. See.
I don't remember what those are called, but they're cool.
Yeah, those are definitely cool. Yeah, that would have been nice, maybe just some more glamour shots of dinos running around just to fill out the world.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it does feel kind of empty. You just get a few talking dinos here and there. You don't really, like we were talking about, you don't really get, like, what any of them are doing. Like, the T-Rexes, they're like, oh, we got to herd these longhorns to go south. But it's like, what? Why? I don't know.
Yeah, they don't really give you a good reason. They just got to go south.
Like, are there towns? Are there, like, dinosaur towns here? Or, like,
that
like
villages? Cool.
I don't know.
They really gave up the chance to make some cool dinosaur stuff.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, the core concept, like, we're talking about, like, at the very deepest part, it's like, okay, let's just make a movie about a boy and a dog, but the dog is the boy and the boy is the dog. It's like, you could have done a lot cooler stuff with it. It falls into the classic as the great hard man himself, Jared, points out, the stinky and grumpy go on an adventure, which is kind of every Pixar plot at its core.
Yeah.
Outside of it, maybe like the Monsters University or Monsters Universe. Those aren't as much like, okay, we got to go to this point and then the movie's done. It's like there's like something we need to accomplish here in real life.
Yes, that is true.
I guess the Incredibles too.
Actually,
or as well.
Well, Incredibles, they had to go to that island.
Yeah, they go to the island to get the back. Family. That's true.
Yeah.
But these other ones are like, okay, we start here. We start in the farm. Inside Out, we start in the brain, the main brain. Somehow, something throws us way out, and then we have to get back. But that's the whole movie.
The main brain.
I mean, Inside Out has a lot more nuance to it, but what are you going to do? Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if I would necessarily say you have to see this one, but it happened.
Yeah, it happened. It's something.
But hey, Kuji, talking about making your mark, you know how you could make your mark on society? Wow. I don't know. Go to teespring.com/asterixar. That's right. We've got t-shirts for sale. But It's not a completely shameless plug, because some of the proceeds will go to the Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah. See, it's for charity.
It's for charity.
And for your chastity. And
for your chastity. There's shirts for boys and girls, and I think a long sleeve shirt also. By the time this is posted, it'll probably be almost done, because they do short campaigns. So we'll see if we can extend it. If not, I'll just put something else up, I'm sure. So go back to the Twitter at Asterixar, or probably use the same domain, teespring.com/Asterixar, to post stuff. So you can find that stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else we got going on here? Next pod, what are we thinking?
Talking about some shorts, maybe. A couple shorts.
Maybe. Did we like those shorts? The feature adjacent shorts.
Do we like them? I don't know if we did, but
should we do it again? We should. We'll do it again. We'll do that again.
Yeah, give Peace a chance.
Give Peace a chance. Yeah, we'll give it one more chance.
Yeah.
So we'll come back with another short, and then after that, that'll give us some time to try and coordinate the next feature, which is Finding Dory. We can try and bring back our good friend Chelsea from the Finding Nemo podcast.
Yeah. Maybe she found Dory.
Maybe. Maybe she won't agree to do this. And I wouldn't blame her. But you have to come back and find out.
All right.
All right. That's all I got. Until next time. See ya.
Bye. Prep.